Hello, this is Kinch Rindell with Your Business Podcast, and today we have an interview with Rainey Wickstrom of the Healthy People Project. Also, she can be found at 1000healthyschools.com, and that's 1000healthyschools.com. Rainey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks, Kinch. How are you doing?
So far, so good. It's a sunny day as usual here in Colorado.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So we met back in Toastmasters, and we're just debating if it's 2008, 9, or 10. So we both joined Toastmasters. Is that the first speaking club you've ever joined?
Yes, it was. And it took me a little time and courage to get there, but it was a great platform for, you know, getting started with some things I really wanted to do.
Yeah, so let's tease into what you do now, and then we'll find out how you got there. So you actually get paid to speak, I believe.
Yes, somewhat. I currently am a consultant and have my own consulting company, which really doesn't mean anything except that I get to do what I want to do and I get to choose the kind of projects I want to work on. So maybe if I go back, do you mind if I tell you how it all got started?
Oh, yeah. Where'd you come from? What led up to all this? What did you used to do?
Well, I got out of college and I had really wanted to go on to graduate school, but I wasn't able to get into the school that I wanted to go to. So I just backed off and I have an English degree and I found a job in sales and I was very, very successful in sales. But it wasn't really, and by the way, working in sales is a great platform for anybody to just gain real life business experience. So I want to just shout out for salespeople. But I was basically selling other people's ideas, and I didn't necessarily agree with the practices of the business, which will remain unnamed. And it was really eating me up, and frankly, it was making me sick. I was having all kinds of health issues, because oftentimes when we're out of alignment with our values, we fall ill. And that's just a classic symptom of that. And so I decided to take this huge leap, and I decided to ride my bike across America. But it took me 4 sessions with a psychologist to figure out what was wrong with me. And I told him, I said, something's wrong with me. I'm miserable. I'm sick. I'm unhappy. I need to make a change. I'm going to come for 4 sessions, no more. And when I'm done with those 4 sessions, I want you to tell me what's wrong with me. And he laughed and he said, okay. So at the end of the 4 sessions, he closed up his notebook and said, we've arrived. Do you want to know what's wrong with you? And I said, yeah. And she said, you hate your job. You are miserable. And it's making you sick. I don't
miserable
hate my
job. Miserable
something
you spent most of your life doing, or most of your awake life.
Right. And then I tried to convince him that I really didn't hate my job, and that it was really fine. And he said no, and he went back through his notes. And he had sentence after sentence declaring how much I hated my job. I didn't connect with the values of the organization. I was out of alignment. I was selling other people's ideas, not my own. And he said, and then the second thing you really want to do is you really want to be a mom. And I was like, wow. I'd been talking about it, but I hadn't really made it happen. So within a few days, I made a decision that I was going to leave my job. But it was absolutely terrifying because I didn't know what I would do next.
Yeah.
So I went in and I got, I let everybody know I was going to leave. And then I thought, well, now what am I going to do if I leave? I can't just leave and have nothing to do. And then I remembered that I had always wanted to ride my bike across America. And so I signed up for a ride that was going to leave in 2 weeks that would start in San Francisco and end in Portland, Maine, almost 3,000 miles.
That's across the country.
Yeah, 3280. But I wasn't in shape. But I knew I had to have a challenge in front of me. So with my husband's blessing, you know, I decided to go. Then I started to feel kind of nauseous and faint right before I left. I went to the doctor. Lo and behold, I was pregnant. So anyway, I talked to the doctor and I said, I got to go on this trip because if I don't do it now, it's going to be 20 years before I get to do it. And he said, well, you can go. So I went on this trip pregnant. I was 13 weeks pregnant when I finished this journey. We rode about 80 miles a day. We had 4 days off in this span. And when I was done, I was absolutely clear that I never wanted to have to work for money again.
In other words,
I never wanted to be in a position where my values and what I cared about didn't line up with my income stream.
Those are good quotes.
So I ended up having a really lucky break in a way, because now I was a mom, so I had my next career in front of me, and I didn't have to make a decision about what to do next.
Yeah.
I dabbled in a few things, but before I knew it, I realized I just really want to be home with this child. Then came child number two, and that was a really beautiful period of my life. And so what I used that time to do was to just explore my interests and really chase the seeds of my interest. And it's a great time. It was a beautiful time. I did some things. I started a small business at the time. I became a triathlete. I started coaching other triathletes. It was just a small side business, but it was something that I cared about. And finally we hit the economic crisis, and my husband looked at me one day. My kids were now in elementary school. He said, it's time for you to go back to work. We are running on fumes here.
And was this 2001?
Yeah, it was in the early, it was probably more like two. So I started my bike ride. I went on 1996. So this was later. This was like 2007, probably 2006 in that.
Okay. Yeah. Right before we probably a few years before we met.
Yeah. And so now what I had to do was I had to test my theory. I had to test my theory and my promise that I would never work for money. That if I could be so lucky that I could connect to my purpose and my passion without just going for the money component. Because people who just have to work for money and it's not connected to their purpose or passion, it can be deeply painful. And I watched my dad work at a job that he didn't have any passion for. And he died at the age of 65, and I often thought that was part of the reason.
Yeah, just eat away.
So now I have to test this theory out, right? And I said to my husband, can you give me 6 months? Just give me 6 months. He said, sure. So that put me kind of in like the February timeframe of that next year.
Okay.
And I made a really good decision. I hired a life coach, and I asked her to help me. And one of the first things she did with me was she had me write a mission statement for my life. What's the thing that I cared about? What's the one thing I wanted to do? What's the thing that I wanted to have on my headstone? And she wanted me to get out of thinking, you know, with limits, because as soon as we say, you know, what can I do for a job? We just start going, well, I can't do that. I'm not trained. I don't have the degree. I don't have the credentials. I don't have the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. If anything's possible, what would you do? Did she phrase something in that realm?
Right. So, I mean, I always knew I could work at 7-Eleven or be a waitress. I mean, those are my fallback options, or I could be in sales.
Yeah, you could tell.
I could sell. But what can I do? What do I want to do? And I landed on a mission statement that I want to help build healthy communities. One thing about my bike ride that happened for me was that, in addition to knowing I didn't want to work for money, I really connected to how movement made me feel good and how it helped my mental state. And I really got tied into, boy, when I move every day, I feel so good. I perform so well. My depression goes away. My anxiety lessens. You know, and so I really got connected that, you know, whatever I do for the rest of my life, it's got to involve some kind of, I need to move every day and have that be a part of my life. So that was another commitment I'd made. So I wanted to help build healthy communities. And in addition to this, I came to this because my son had been sick. My father had died early. My son had never met his grandfather. I never met mine. And I became really aware as a parent of this chronic disease thread that ran in my family. And so I started to put the pieces together. And when my son had really bad allergies, and I just thought, I got to do something to help this kid.
Yeah.
And I did for him what I wouldn't do for myself. I cleaned up my diet. I stopped eating so much sugar. I started, you know, cooking with whole ingredients. I started taking out the ice cream that I was eating on a nightly basis since I've gotten pregnant. I'm still using that as an excuse.
It's a good habit. It works for me.
Yeah, and the consequence of all that, and I know I'm kind of taking different paths in this, but I do get to a point. The part of that was is I'd realized how important not just movement is, but how important what we eat is. Because he went from being this little kid who was allergic and had bad eczema and skin problems and fatigued and tired and lethargic to being this live wire, healthy, bouncing baby boy. So now I had two things that were coming into my awareness, my passion for health, how what we do affects how we feel, how we perform. And when my son started school, I realized, wow, I created a healthy environment at home for him, but the world isn't that healthy. His school is not that healthy. They're giving him candy for every math problem he solves, every lap he does it on the track at school. I mean, it was just
that's amazing. They literally give candy out now. I don't remember ever getting candy at school, but they give it out.
Yeah. So there's a lot of demand, a lot of pressure on teachers to have their kids perform. And, you know, teachers, well, they need tools in their toolbox. And we know that candy is a really effective motivator for kids. You know, hey, give you some sugar if you do that. They get really excited, just like I get excited as an adult about sugar.
And then they claim ADHD is an issue because you gave them sugar. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's really complicated. So I began this campaign to help create a healthy school for my son's school. And frankly, I'll tell you, I didn't do it very well at the start. But I, over time, figured out how you move a movement. And it was really after I read this quote by Mother Teresa that said she wouldn't attend an anti-war rally, but she'd go to a peace rally. And so I did the same thing for the school that I did for myself, as I helped them establish a mission and a vision for what they wanted to be, and that was to be the healthy school in Denver. And that school went on to get awards and national recognition, and it became a model that other schools and other parents and administrators looked at to say, well, what did they do that we can do? So this was kind of me as a mom at home with my kids, chasing the seeds of my interests, following my passion, and connecting to this thing that was really important to me, which was health.
Yep.
And that was kind of leading into this coaching other moms on how to be triathletes and how to take care of their own health and really getting into the food piece and learning how to cook so that I could be an advantage with my family and provide this for them. So here I had this mission statement to help build healthy communities, but I have an English degree. Who's going to listen to me if I go around and try to tell other schools how to be healthy? They're going to want a dietitian, right? Or a doctor, or...
Oh, you forgot you were good at sales, huh?
Right. So I just kind of sat with this idea of helping to build healthy communities, and I wrote out what my ideal job would look like. And it went something like this. I would be advising schools and districts and parents on how to help build healthy communities. I would make X amount a year. I'd be able to work part-time, have a flexible schedule so that when my kids were home and sick and needed me, I could be available to them. And I'd have plenty of time to cook healthy meals at home for my family. So I created this whole kind of fantasy around what I thought I'd like to do. And then I just put it there on my desktop. And I got a call just very oddly out of the blue. Somebody had a position for me, and it was really similar to what I'd written down, except it was a drive. It was 2 hours from Denver. It was a fraction of the amount of money I thought we needed for me to make. And it felt like the right thing, but it didn't feel like the right thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was better than nothing. You're like, wow, this is something.
It's something, right. And it was really tempting. So it was like, whoa, I mean, this is actually a possibility that somebody could actually want me, you know, and I ended up saying no to it. And that's a really important thing for any of your listeners, is knowing when to say no, because it wasn't completely in alignment with what I wanted.
Well, you actually wrote down and took time to think about what you wanted, which is, I believe, one of the biggest steps anyone can do.
Exactly. Because if you don't know what you want, you're going to end up with what you don't want. And no sooner had I turned away that opportunity, I picked up the paper. And in the paper, there was an article about how there's this initiative in Colorado around health and wellness. And there's a funder who is funding a lot of these efforts. And I was like, wow, I have to somehow get connected with this funder. They're doing amazing work in Colorado. And the name of the funder was LiveWell Colorado. And so, and they do incredible work around healthy schools and investments in communities. And so I thought about how I could get involved. I contacted people who knew people in that area, and I thought, boy, if there's one organization that I align with, that my values fit with, it's this organization. And how do I connect with them and let them know? So everybody that I knew, it could be affiliated, I talked to them, and they all pretty much said, no, you can't, it's not, you know, for various reasons, it won't work, right? Well, February had rolled around. My husband's looking at the month, the clock, and he's saying, so how's it going for you? And I remember the distinct day. I knew he was going to call me at home that day. It was snowing. I was sitting in my loungewear. I was depressed. I was like, this is not going to work. This theory of mine that I can do what I want is not going to work. But it just so happened that the next day I needed to meet someone in a coffee shop, essentially. Well, I was supposed to meet someone, but the appointment was canceled, and I ended up in a coffee shop. And while I was in this coffee shop, I got a phone call. And on the phone was a woman who works on similar issues, Healthy Schools Initiative. So I got all animated in this coffee shop talking about, you know, what she could do and how she could do it and how if we did this, it would leverage that and we could find this partner who would then support that and then it would help kids this way. You know, I got all excited. Yeah. And when I got off the phone, I went, oh, you know, faux pas. You don't get that excited on your phone in coffee shops. This is bad form. There was a woman sitting there and she was just staring me down. And so I apologized to her. I go, oh, I'm so sorry. And she goes, no. On the contrary, I'm very interested in what you were talking about. And she said, I'd like to know, what do you do exactly? And so I got back in animated. Oh, I've been working with healthy schools and blah, 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 blah. And this was all volunteer work, you know?
Yeah.
And she said to me, well, are you looking for a job? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am, I told her. And she says, well, I actually have a grant. It's with an organization called Live Well Colorado. And she said, would you like to meet me here next week at this time? And I'd like to share with you what I have and what, you know, how this might look.
Where you fit in.
Unbelievable, right? How does that happen?
Well, so, you were speaking about what you're passionate about. It just wasn't directly to her.
Right. She saw the passion. So I met her the next week. We sat down and talked, and I actually tried to talk her out of actually giving me the job because I was so afraid she might offer it to me. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not really qualified. And I tried to talk her out of it and finding a Spanish speaker for the job because it was going to be in a Spanish speaking community. And she said, no, I want you to work for me. Mm-hmm. And she says, I just need you to tell me what you need and how you think this should be structured. So I went home, I took the little sheet where I wrote down kind of my parameters, the hours, the flexibility, work from home, summers off, follow my kid's school schedule, you know, that kind of thing.
Thought it was crazy.
yeah, the dollar amount. And I sent it to her. And she wrote back, looks great to me. So every single thing I had wanted, I got.
You also asked for it. Not only on paper, but you sent it to her.
I sent it to her, yes. And so, you know, I think what I would tell you up to this point, I was absolutely filled with fear. But, you know, I just pushed through it anyway, and kind of holding some belief out was really pivotal in this whole shift for me. So I ended up working for her for a good year and a half or so, and then the same thing happened again. It was a similar situation. Somebody came to me and offered me something. I said, no, it's, you know, better financially than what I have. It's more of everything, but it just didn't quite fit.
Yeah.
And within a month, something even better came along.
So you held out once again.
I held out again.
Something I think people need to realize is you were still taking action, though.
Yeah.
You were still doing something. And probably still dreaming bigger.
Yeah.
I'm telling everybody action, action, action. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that basically just kept feeding in some more and more career opportunities. And of course, because I do have passion for what I do, and anybody that has passion for what they do, they're just like a magnet for people because people see that passion and it inspires them. And who do you want to work for you on a project? Somebody who has passion or somebody who doesn't? So
yeah,
it seemed like I just was attracting more and more opportunities. And within that, I started to do public speaking. One day at Toastmasters, one of our members was giving a speech and he pointed his finger at me, you know, just as a general audience member. And his speech was an inspirational speech about not wasting your life and wasting your gifts. And he looked at me and said, "Are you going to let this opportunity pass you by?" And he didn't know it, but I just received my first paid speaking opportunity, and I was trying to think of every reason not to do it because it scared me so much.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, yeah. I went home from Toastmasters going, you know what? I'm going to accept this opportunity. I'm going to run with it. And I did.
Say yes. Say yes.
So, yeah.
That's
so
where
that,
people, I think you notice the coincidences, and I would call them also opportunities. And for so many people, I think they're scary. After this retreat we got back from a few weeks ago, was a relationship retreat. They said to get outside your comfort zone is always going to be the answer to any of your wants and needs and desires.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more than what you have, you're going to hit that point, and that's when you should know it's the right thing. Like, oh, man, I don't know if I can do that. So how many years have you been at Toastmasters before you took this paid gig?
You know, it was only a year. It was probably less than a year. And it was actually another – let me think about this. How did this come about? No, it was actually not a Toastmaster that offered me this one. It was somebody else that offered it to me. And, you know, they said, we don't have much budget and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was under $1,000. It was around $750. And, you know, the dollars don't matter. It was just the fact that I was getting paid. I was so excited. Just I was so
you got
excited.
Paid now, to speak about what you'd speak about for free, most likely.
Exactly. Now, I will tell you that because I'm such a neurotic, I probably put 100 hours into that and lost money on that. But because what I needed was just that first opportunity, and I spoke to a group of 100 people, and it was about health. It was about how to be healthy, and got good responses from that. And then it just seemed like then the speaking opportunities kept presenting themselves. And I ended up, not too much longer, I got offered an opportunity to speak in Chicago.
Wow.
And paid handsomely for that one. And then, since then, through my more on the work side of what I do, I have more speaking that I do that's definitely more industry related to what I do. Yeah. I put on webinars and I do speaking. I haven't stepped outside of my industry as much lately. I've done, you know, a number of speeches, but I'd say in any given year I'll have between 4 and 8 professional presentations that I do of various types. So that's an arm of my business. And the other arm of my business is I continue to consult on healthy schools and advising schools on how to become healthy. I also work still with LiveWell. And one of their initiatives is really promoting healthy food in schools, and so I support, I'm on their team that supports their food service directors who are really doing incredible work around the state, not just to, we do a lot of work to help shift food to healthier food in schools, but then the problem we've found is that we need to shift perceptions about food as well, because people think of school lunch as the same old thing, when really what we're seeing is some amazing things coming out of school kitchens. So I'm, as you can see, I'm very still connected to my passion, and I can't tell you where I'm going to be a year from now, because I'm just following the seeds of my interest, and they
Something tells me whatever you write down is where you'll probably be in a year from now.
It's so true. Yes, it's so true.
Thanks for sharing all that. I took a few notes that tie back into this. For one, we could talk about the self-help realm of things that can make you sick. I totally agree that when you work, when you're doing something you don't want to do, that many days out of your, or that many hours out of your day, if you're not aligned with it, it can't make you feel good. I mean, how happy are you going to be when you get home? If, oh, I know I have to go back and do that again tomorrow. And then something you talked about, movement and such. There's a book I just got called The Miracle Morning. And they basically tie in different things saying, hey, you do this every single morning, make it a habit and see how great you feel. And one is movement.
Yeah.
And taking time. What was something else you mentioned? Livewell, Colorado. I took notes of. Oh, coffee shop. Something I've said over and over on the podcast is I believe if you are passionate about something, you got to talk to people about it. Whatever it is, share it. Put stickers on your car in the case of my farm. Whatever it is, I bounce into people oddly like that. Now, I've never had somebody overhear my conversation, but I am the person that will be somewhere and will listen. And I will always say, oh, you're into what? I just swear that you have to talk and put it out there. And that leads into you basically spoke in front of 100 people. Some of those people then talk to other people. So every year you're now speaking probably in front of 1,000 people or more.
Right.
It helps it grow and grow. And but you took action all along the way. I'm also impressed that in 1996, you knew for like 10 years that you did not want a normal job again.
Right.
You somehow set that or wrote that down, and you said you explored things while you had the small kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. You kept track of that and said, nope, I know that I want to follow this. And tell people just a little bit before we wrap up about you had a life coach. Do you still have a life coach? What are your thoughts on that for people?
Well, I absolutely love the opportunity to work with life coaches that because it can be life changing, and you know, matching up with somebody that can help you get to the next step. Hey, we all need help. It's just it's a reality. We become our own worst enemies, and I believe in getting help whenever you need it, whether it's mental health help, like going to the psychologist like I did, working with a life coach. I believe we need good help, just like we need good financial planners and we need a good accountant. We need people who can help us grow in our careers. So, yes, I do use a life coach. But every year or two, I'll just get a tune-up to see if I'm on track. And, one of my next phases is also I've been helping other folks coaching them on how to reach their potential. And I can be reached at 1000healthyschools.com to learn more about that and how I can help.
Yeah, that's where I was leading to. You did great.
I got you there, huh?
So basically, 1000, that was my next thing was life coaching, and I think you coach as well. So, Lily, they can find you at 1000healthyschools.com and connect with you there.
Yes, and I don't have coaching programs listed there, but that's the next piece of development in terms of my offerings, and I'm currently working with some folks now. So I would love to help others. One last thing, Kent, I just want to add, if you have one more minute, whatever people can do to be as free as possible, because when you're free, you have options. And so one thing that my husband and I committed to early on was not becoming overly leveraged with our house, with our cars, with our expenses, so that we would have some freedom to explore options in our lives. And I just talked to a woman, she and her husband are taking a year off and they're going to travel around the world. They created this option for themselves. And so at every point in everybody's life, they have to determine what's more important, my life or my money, or my stuff. And I think that the ability to explore, it's much wider when you just can keep your options open.
So you went talking, I guess, about debt a little bit there, but you start off by saying more free. So I have more freedom, more free time.
Yes.
Because you're not so tied down, per se.
Right. So, exactly. So let's just say I had that opportunity to do that exploration because I was able to stay home with my kids and use that time.
Yep.
But if we both had to work full-time jobs, take care of kids, come home, descend on the kitchen, try to figure out who's going to make dinner, it causes too much stress, and it's hard to find your passion and purpose when you're just on a gerbil wheel.
Oh, yeah. And that's me looking back personally. I cannot imagine ever having to have a single boss. By having lots of clients, I have hundreds of bosses, per se.
Right.
But I would never go back. I've told several friends, and I've suggested to people and always would, if it came to it, I would live in the cheapest house I could afford to have more free time instead of working so many hours.
Absolutely.
There's nothing. And like you had mentioned early on, that you were working for somebody else's dreams and goals by selling it. I have been over the years, even though I've been separate from a normal company, I still would consult and do that for other people. And I've even invested money that I lost, $30,000, in somebody else's dreams and goals. I love to tell people you need to invest in yourself and your own passions and your own education, your own mental health. All of that is where I took the wrong approach thinking, oh, somebody else's idea is great. But it wasn't my passion. It's so easy for me to get caught up because some people are good salespeople for their ideas.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. No, I do so agree. Free. You got to be have enough free time and then use that free time. That's why I tell people I canceled cable years ago. Years.
Right.
I don't need that distraction. If I couldn't handle it, just cancel it. So
Lots of great
nuggets. Hopefully sometime we'll do this again and catch up and see what you're doing next.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, I really enjoyed this opportunity to share my story and thank you for that.
Thank you, Rainey.
It's been
great.
All right. Take care.
All right. All right, bye.
Bye.